A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Chaf Aleph, Shabbos 121a, pagination, page 241. We start from the Mishnah, about 9 lines from the top. We're still dealing with cases of a fire on Shabbos, and obviously, if you're not personally putting it out, it's because it is not a life endangering situation. We're assuming that all people have been successfully evacuated, and therefore you're not putting it out yourself. And the only question here is whether you can have somebody else, as in a non-Jew, put it out. Can you actually ask them to put it out for you? And again, nowadays, of course you're going to call the fire department because we assume that it's life endangering. But again, back to our principle here, assuming that there was no life endangerment, so that we have the case and we could work it through, what would be the actual dynamics of asking somebody to do malacha for you, to do work for you on Shabbos, that you yourself were not allowed to do? And that is actually our theme, benefiting from someone else's malacha on Shabbos. So the Mishnah states, Nochri Shebo Lechabos, if a non-Jew comes to extinguish the fire, Ein Omnim Lo Kave, you don't tell him please extinguish, Ve'al Techave, you don't tell him don't extinguish. Mepnei She'en Shevisaso Aleihem, because his rest is not upon you. In other words, the end of the Mishnah is going to discuss a child. So a child's rest is on you. It's this week's Parsha. Saras HaDibra says that your son and daughter are included in your responsibility. Likewise, if you would have a non-Jew in the time when there was slavery, let's say, so Eved Kanani is described as someone that you're responsible for. You're not allowed to ask your Eved Kanani to do malacha for you on Shabbos. But over here, this is a neighborly non-Jew. And therefore, it's not your responsibility whether he rests or doesn't rest. None of your business. And therefore, you don't have to say, don't do it. On the other hand, apparently from the Mishnah, you're not allowed to say, do it. Ask him to do it. And therefore, he just understands that it's a smart thing to do. Why is it so smart? Again, we mentioned it's no risk of spreading. If there was risk of spreading, it would be life endangerment. It's smart because he knows that you'll make it up to him. If he's neighborly, he'll get paid with some of the stuff that he saved, he'll get paid for his labor, he'll get a good turn in the future. He knows it's a smart thing to do, and therefore he does it, but you didn't ask him to do it. Avokotan shabalachabos, but if a child would come to extinguish the same fire, ein shomim lo, you don't listen to the child, you don't allow him to do it. Because you are responsible for the child is doing it for the purpose of the adult, and because he's doing it for the purpose of the adult, you would have to stop him. Okay, obviously there's lots that can be extended from this. Let's stick to the text first, and we'll try to hit some interesting scenarios afterwards that are far more practical, just turning lights on and off on behalf of the people around, if a child were to do that. So let's see the Gemara. Amar Rav Ami said, "Bedeleiko, when you have a fire, hitiru lomar, you're allowed to say, kol hamechaba eino mafsid, whoever extinguishes it won't lose." Now, there's a double vagueness to that statement, and that vagueness, we're going to capitalize on it. Kol ha-mechaba, you're not telling this person, if you extinguish, you won't lose. He's saying, whoever extinguishes won't lose. Very vague. Mishnah Berurah says that was intentional. You're not allowed to say to him, if you do it, you won't lose. And also, we're not saying, I'll pay you. We're saying, you won't lose. So if he's a wise, experienced non-Jew, he knows how Jews operate on Shabbos, so he understands you won't lose means that he's going to gain, but you're saying it in a vague way, and that's what makes it permitted. But this statement is taking it one step further than the Mishnah. The Mishnah sounded like you just have to be very non-committal. You don't tell them to extinguish, you don't tell them not to extinguish. But over here, the Gemara is allowing you to at least infer that you agree that it's a smart thing to extinguish it. You know, like if I were allowed to be funny here, you know, that no one should think it's self-arson or something. That you're trying to get insurance payments, God forbid, in a dishonest way. He said, no, I want someone to extinguish it. But I'm not allowed to tell you that, because it's Shabbos. Okay. Let's drop down about eight lines. The end of a line, Taf Resh, Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Maisa, there was a story. V'naflo d'leiko b'chatzeru shal Yosef ben Simoi. There was a fire that broke out in the courtyard of Yosef ben Simoi, Besichin, in a place by that name. Uvawan she gistera shal Tzipori, and the army, the people, non-Jews, of a neighboring area came lachabos to put the fire out. Mepnei shapatropa shal melech haya, because they were representing the king and they had interests and they wanted to come and put it out. Velohi nichon, and this Yosef ben Simoi did not allow them to put it out because it's his property and he was willing to take the loss. Mepnei kavod haShabbos, because of Shabbos honor. It's interesting, the word is kavod Shabbos. Not clear that that was obligatory even in his own mind. But kavod Shabbos, the honor of Shabbos, he didn't want the fire brigade to be disturbing. Again, if I'm allowed to be funny, you know, his Shabbos mirrors. The fire is raging, but somehow he was able to keep his serenity. He didn't want them coming. Whatever his hakpada was, but he didn't let them in. V'nasa lo nes, a miracle occurred. V'yordu gishamim, and a rainstorm came. 2 nights ago, rainstorm. V'chibu, put the whole fire out. Lo erev, that night, after Shabbos was over, shigir l'chalechon miyam shtei siloyim, he sent to each of them 2 significant coins. Appreciation, every single person who came out got paid. Ulaf rocha shebohen, and to the leader of them, chamishim, he sent 50. And when the rabbis heard of the story, Amru, they said, he wasn't obligated to send them away. Because that's what we just learned. If they come good-naturedly on Shabbos, you're allowed to let them do their work. What's fascinating here is the entire balance. This Yosef ben Simoi apparently was a significant player, and he understood that he's going to pay them off for coming, even though they didn't do anything for him. And the rain came on his behalf. But the rabbi said, that's not halacha. And you always got to work with halacha. Sharisha ninu, because we learned, nachrisha balachabos, a non-Jew who comes to put it out, enomrim la kaveh ve'alta kaveh, you don't tell him to do it, you don't tell him not to do it. It's understood. He's going to do his work, and you're going to be good-natured about it afterwards to pay him for his efforts, and that's it. Okay. Next piece of Gemara. Avokatam shabalachabos, but if a child tries to put the fire out, ein shamim lo, you don't listen to him, because he's doing it for you and you're responsible for his resting. Shamat mina, the Gemara wants to extrapolate from here that katan ochel nevelos, if a child is doing something wrong, he's eating non-kosher food, bezdim mitzuvim alav lahafrisho, the court, the community is obligated to step in. Which is a very big step, if that were to be true, that it's not just on the father, but it's on the community. And that's why you're not allowed to use his Shabbos work to put out the fire. Amar Rabbi Yechanan said no. V'katan ha'osa l'das aviv. The issue here is that the child is doing it for the father. If a child's eating non-kosher food on his own, then it's a delicate chinuch issue. We're doing anything wrong on his own. Does a different person have an obligation to step in and say, buddy, you're not allowed to be doing that? Or only the father is obligated to step in? But if the child is doing it for you, so then he's doing it for you, so then you have to stop him, because he's doing it for you. But the comparable case of the non-Jew doing it for the Jew, is that permitted? In other words, if you're going to establish that the child is doing it for the adult, so then the comparable case in the Mishnah that was permitted by a non-Jew has to be that the non-Jew is doing it for the Jewish adult, because the only variable that's changing is that it was non-Jew and now it's child. But if you're going to change the whole case, then there's no contrast. Both cases have to be that you're doing it for the Jewish adult. And the Gemara says, yeah, it's very different. Because a child does it for you. Doesn't have a bank account of his own, doesn't have a budget of his own. He's doing it for you. Nochri, but the non-Jew, l'dayte d'nafshei ovid, he's doing it for himself. Because he wants to, even if he wants to be neighborly, he knows he's going to get a good turn in return. He knows he's going to get paid. He knows he's going to get a commission on what he saved. He's doing it for himself. The child's doing it for you. There are a lot of cases to extrapolate. I just want to mention two for food for thought here. Person's in a bedroom, Jew's in a bedroom, Friday night, lights off. They're groping around, but the light's off and they're fine with that. Non-Jewish worker, waiter, waitress, caregiver for an elderly parent, whatever, walks in, says, can I turn on the light? I need to find something. Yeah, I mean, do whatever you want. I mean, I can't say, yeah, whatever, but yeah, right, spontaneously, you agree that they can do whatever they want. They turn on the light. On their way out, they see you groping for your stuff. They ask you, should I shut the light? What are you supposed to say?
Now you're doing it for you, right?
Now he's doing it, right? No, like, maybe you're allowed to say, general policy is leave the room the way you found it. Is that going over your bounds? Another question by a child. Child is flipping the light on and off on their own. And you happen to want it either on or off. Can you sit there waiting until the right moment and then pull the child away? All kinds of ways of trying to tap into these things without actually violating. How far are you allowed to go? Full discussion of its own. Thank you. Have a great day. Good job.